Listening again this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. May I just say a word about tonight? It's a delight that we can fellowship with Sarah Murdoch in our giving, missionary-wise, and I don't see her anywhere, so that makes it easy for me to say this. She has a missionary's heart. She's not your normal missionary. I've been on the field. And she has the Bolivians in her home. I don't know for that small lady to accomplish as much as she does, but she has moved, I think, 23 times on her first 4 years or 3 years or so, maybe it's four, on the field. And continuously she has an open house. The Bolivians come in and out, and that's the way she lives with them and ministers to them, and God has wondrously blessed her. And I've given up a little of my preaching time tonight, so that she can, that we can see her slides of the work in Bolivia. She's not going to preach, but she's going to show her slides tonight in order that we know something a bit more about the work. Now that her sisters have seen it, they've seen her slides. But we brethren who make the decisions in the men's meeting, we have it. And I think it's necessary for us to see them. And for that reason, and I thank the brethren tonight that they made a decision on Thursday night to give her a special gift tonight. And to the brethren who came to the men's meeting and who helped in the decision on that aspect, that will be given to her tonight. And I'm just happy that it's taking place. And then afterward, this is the last time we'll see Sarah for a few years. In all probability, we're going to have a time of fellowship in the back building, and you'll have an opportunity to talk with her. Her mother, by the way, goes to the hospital tomorrow for cataract surgery. She's going to enter Duke Hospital in the morning, and one of the doctors that our daughter Anne is associated with is going to do the surgery at Duke Eye Hospital. Now, Matthew chapter 5, and we begin our reading at verse 13, the same passage that we read last week. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of thy dear Son, having opened thy word, we ask you to open our hearts. Give us something from this portion of thy word. Deliver us, O God, from anxiety, but help us to learn thy word, not only to know it, but to be obedient to it, that thy name may be glorified through us, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. As we noted last week, believers are the light or the salt of the earth. And today we look at believers as our Lord Jesus likens them to light. When we read this passage, ye are the light of the world. This tells me something about myself. It tells me that the sayings and doings of the child of God are open to the cognizance of man. Man recognizes and he watches the child of God. And the Lord Jesus has so set us in the world that we bear witness. Now, spiritually, the world is in darkness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 tells us this. And Matthew chapter 4 tells us that the world sits in the shadow of death. Because in Adam, the whole world, and I'm talking about the world of mankind, The whole world departed from him who is light, even God revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this text tells me something concerning ministry as well. It tells me that the Word of God must be handled in a proper way. The Word of God must be applied to the conscience of man, that they may see their sins and their woeful wretchedness in the sight of God, so that the light may penetrate. Now when we come to this text, and we listen to what our Lord says in verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. That word ye is an emphatic ye in the Greek. And it could be translated ye, and ye alone are the light of the world. The ye, you see, is emphatic. Now, as always, we want to look at the negative aspect of this passage. Then we want to look at the positive aspect of this passage. And then we want to notice the application of the light. These three things we want to consider together this morning as we think of this. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hidden. The world is in a state of darkness. John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 19. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. For he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. The world is a place, friends, of gross darkness. This is a condemnation, that light is come into the world. Can you imagine the condemnation of a child reared in a family of Christian parents? They had a light all their life. And they turn from that light and follow the wretchedness of their evil deeds to a lost eternity. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. On the other hand, in Colossians 1:13, the person who has been saved by the grace of God, it is written of him, he has been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is a genuine translation. We have been delivered from something. We have been delivered from the state of darkness that has entrenched this world in which we live. Now man in our day boasts of his enlightenment. It's amazing when you study history. We talk about the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, that period of time, there in the, beginning with the 4th century and, going on to about the 15th century. We talk about that as the Dark Ages. It's often spoken of by historians as the Middle Ages. And at the close of the Dark Ages, there was a period known as the Renaissance. It's a time when the great Greek classics and Greek philosophy was revitalized throughout the Roman world. And it was a period that a rediscovery of light that had been previously given in former ages. And then, of course, in America, in the 18th century, there was a great revival under Jonathan Edwards, who was the first president of Princeton Seminary. And that period of time that followed the revival, the Christian revival of Jonathan Edwards, it was called the period of enlightenment. It was. Now, while there was a revival in the church, it wasn't long until the authority of the Word of God was questioned, and there was a definite attack upon the authority of Holy Scripture, and philosophy and human thought came to the forefront rather than the Word of God. Now man, when he speaks of enlightenment, he'll tell you that knowledge is what brings light. Well, to a certain extent, that is true. But in our generation in which we live, our knowledge is that of things. Our knowledge is mostly mechanical and scientific. That's the kind of knowledge we're talking about today. We have a knowledge today that is purely, more or less, biological or in a mechanical sense of things. Our knowledge of the real factors that make life has not increased at all. The world, friends, is in a place of gross darkness. And our Lord says to his own, he says to them, ye are the light of the world. Now there are many men today who have a great knowledge in many departments of thought, but who are tragic failures in their own personal lives. The generation in which you and I live have been able to put a man on the moon, having walked on the moon, get back into a spacecraft and come back to Earth and land within the space, in the space of a square mile in the Pacific Ocean. Now that's great. We have we're living in a day when man has the knowledge to put another man on the moon, but he doesn't have the knowledge to control his own passions. So we have a man on the moon and we have hell on earth. And we call it enlightenment. Our generation can do that. Our generation is the one in which we have multitudes of seminars for family, marriage, enlightenment. My poor father, he never knew anything about that. All he knew was how to rear a family according to the Word of God. But our generation that boasts of enlightenment, we have to have our seminars to keep families together. And they really don't seem to be able to do it. Even among believers. Friends, there is obviously no light at all in this dark world apart from the light that is provided by believers and our Christian faith. Our Lord said to his own, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Isn't that amazing? That insignificant group of people that were gathered with the Lord Jesus there on the mountain. He looked at them and he said, you're the light of the world. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say it of the Pharisees who claimed to know all the truth. He didn't say it of the Sadducees who were the leaders in Israel, but he said it of those who were indeed his people, of whom he could say previously, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He had spoken of them. Now he looks at them and he says to that insignificant group, you are the light of the world. This world, friends, is in gross darkness. But now, having looked at the negative side, let's take a look at the positive side. You see, our text says, you are, ye are the light of the world. Now this is the claim of every ordinary Christian. Every person who has been saved by the grace of God can claim this truth. I am the light of the world. Now that should give meaning to my walk. Day by day. I should be recognizing, no matter where I'm at, the Lord Jesus has a purpose in my living. I am something. I am the light of the world. You see, this takes in that whosoever of the Word of God, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. And whosoever believes in Him is denominated by our blessed Lord as the light of the world. Now Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, when he speaks of the wisdom of the world, he says, now the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The very thing that appears utterly ridiculous to the man of the world is wisdom in the eyes of God. Can you imagine that? And you and I, insignificant as we may appear in the earth, we are the light of the world. Now, when we speak of being saved and becoming our Lord's own, we often say that it's necessary for a person to learn that they are lost before they can be saved. Well, a person has to learn also that they're in darkness before they come to the light. And once we have come to the light, we realize the darkness from which we have been delivered. My father was almost 50 years old when he was saved. He was in his 40s. And he was in religious darkness. He was a member of a well-known denominational church. He was a deacon in the church. But he was not saved. And he often made a statement. He says, I know what it is to live the two lives. I know what it is to live in the darkness of sin. But thanks be to God, I know what it is to walk with the Lord. What a privilege. There is a darkness in religion that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can correct. Now when our Lord was here on earth, in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said these words, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, he looked at his own people, and he said, you are the light of the world. Now, we are the light of the world because of our relationship to him, who is the light of the world. That's why we are the light of the world. Now, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, he says this, for ye were sometimes darkness. That was in our unsaved condition, in our pre-Christian state. Ye were sometimes darkness. But now, there's one of those beautiful buts of the New Testament. But now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. And the commandment follows what we are. Now, we have not only received light when we were saved, the Word of God tells us we have been made light. We have been made light. We just passed the Christmas season. And children have gotten their toys, and with many toys that have been bought this year, there is a little note attached. Batteries not included. You have to buy batteries to operate the gadgets that were given to the children. Batteries are so important. But you see, God not only says we are light, but the battery is included. For the Spirit of light has come to indwell us. And we now have the ability to walk as children of light. And our Lord says to his own in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, we read, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, because God is light, and we who have been brought to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we possess the Holy Spirit. In the ministry that our Lord gave the night in which he was betrayed, in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, those three chapters, he speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells the people of God. And it is he who in us is that Spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus. The Father and the Son, we read in John 14, come and take up their abode in us. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity indwells the child of God. For you see, friends, if one member of the Godhead is indwelling you, then you have all the members of the Godhead indwelling you. To have one is to have them all. Now the Lord had already described his people in what we know as the Beatitudes. Now he says, you are the salt of the earth. Now he says, you are the light of the world. Notice the words, you are. Ye are. You know you have to be something before you can do something. And our Lord is more interested in what we are. All this is always so important. God is interested in what you are. For what you are determines what you will do. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3, and he, in about the second or third verse of that third chapter, he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. In other words, because of what we are, this is what we do. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Therefore, you resist the putrefaction that is in the world. You are the light of the world. Therefore, you expel the darkness that is there. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, you have to be something before you can do something. In other words, the same held true with our blessed Lord. There's no use talking about his redemptive work if you deny his person. For he had to be who he was to do what he did. That's a glorious truth. He had to be who he was, unless he is God the Son, true man and true God. He could not have done what he did in the redemption of sinful men on the cross in Calvary's Hill. It was who he was that enabled him to do what he did. And once we see that blessed truth, how can I shine before men? I can't. It's only by a relationship with him who is the light of the world. This is why, friends, if you've never been born of God, all your trying will never do it. You have to be, and only he can do that in you. Only he can make you his child. The one who said, I am the light of the world. Now, very quickly, we need to think of the effects of the light. I thank God for that positive relationship to him. But oh, think of the effects of the light. What does light do? Well, first of all, it exposes darkness. And it exposes the things that belong to darkness. That's what light does. I'll never forget when I was in Africa. And when we would, many times, having worked all day, for we only had 4 weeks to wire that hospital and all the other buildings and set up the generator and wire the doctor's house and the nurse's houses and all the other things. We only had 1 month. And many times after we had supper, at night we'd go turn the generator on and work a bit at night. And then there's a courtyard around the area where the generator was. And in that courtyard, there were at least 1 million little animals. They look like a salamander, but I'm trying to think of the name. They're in the reptile family anyway. There's about 1 million of them, and they go skirting into the every which way when you come there with a light. The light exposed the darkness, but it also exposed the things of darkness. The things of darkness, and so it does in our lives. For we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And God says, you are the light of the world. Concerning our Lord's public ministry, in Matthew 4, verse 16, we read, the people who sat in darkness saw great light. Oh, think of a light that you can spread in a dark world. You see, light exposes the hidden things of darkness. So we read in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5, concerning the coming of the Lord, it says, therefore judge nothing before the time. And that's one of the things we always want to do. We like to judge one another. God says, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. It is light that exposes, you see. Now the whole world is divided. between the children of darkness and the children of light. You either have been delivered from the power of darkness, or you're still there. And you are either a child of light, having been delivered, and you walk as a child of light, because of that is included. You have it within. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Are you his? Our Lord said, ye are the light of the world. Think of it in relation to our Lord. The Spirit of God speaks of him in John 1 as the true light. The life of the Lord Jesus as the true light. His utter purity. His utter holiness. Without ever saying a word against the Pharisees at the beginning of his ministry. He only denounced the Pharisees at the end of his ministry. Matthew 23. It was at the very end of his public ministry. He never did it at the beginning. But his whole life of light so exposed the darkness of their hearts that they hated him without a cause. They hated him, for it showed them to be what they really are. He was the light. Now, light not only reveals the hidden things of darkness, light explains the cause of the darkness. The trouble with man is not with his intellect. The trouble with man is his nature. He has a nature related to Adam. And you want to know something? There is no one who can warn man apart from a child of God. You're the light of the world. You who have been saved by the grace of God are the only remedy this world has. It doesn't have another one. There isn't another remedy for the word of God, for the poor man of the world. Oh, my friend, listen to the word of God. He says to us, you are the light of the world. There is no one to warn our modern world except the child of God. Now the Christian is left on earth. God left us here to tell men and women that there's a way to God. And the way is simple. It is to know the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of in the Word of God as Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Son of God who came from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to illuminate the darkness and to expose the cause of the darkness. And on the cross on Calvary's Hill, he not only bore the guilt of our sins, but because of his obedience to the Father all his life, he imparts to that believer a new life and a new nature. That's the gospel. See, the trouble isn't with man's intellect. The trouble is with his nature. You have a new nature? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 tells us that, and he's writing to believers, the same truth as you have here. What our Lord said is, I'm the light of the world and you are the light of the world. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, we have been made partakers of the divine nature. What a blessed truth. Our Lord didn't merely come to give new teaching or new understanding of the problem and not merely a pardon. He came to give us life. For that's what this world needs. Two things in closing. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. As believers, we live in the midst of men and women who are in a state of gross darkness. Now, we could take a lot of time to describe various kinds of darkness. There's moral darkness. There's religious darkness. And we could go on and on. But the men and women are there. That leaves us with just one more thing. God expects us to function as what? Children of light. Walk as children of light. My friend, if you're here and you're still in darkness, there's only one who can deliver you, and it isn't the preacher. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you'd ask him, and he'd give you living water. He'll give you light. He'll deliver you from the power of darkness. He'll translate you into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's yours for the receiving. And you'll never get so much for simply saying thank you. With Bonar of old, you'll be able to say, I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. Is the battery run down? Does it need recharging? You are the light of the world. Let's live that way, for his name's sake. Let us sing together in closing hymn number 445. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. 445. We'll sing the last two stanzas of this hymn this morning. If you take the whole of this hymn, may the Word of God dwell richly. May the peace of God, my Father, may the love of Jesus fill me. Oh, you're the light of the world. The city set on an hill cannot be hidden. But oh, when I come to the last two stanzas, may I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. Oh, may this be our prayer. Then I'll be a faithful witness to my neighbor. And then the final stanza, may his beauty rest upon me. Well, he's the light of the world, and so am I, because of a relationship to him. If you have that relationship, if you don't have it, you're not the light. You can get it by coming to him, and we invite you to trust him this morning. Let's stand and sing these final two stanzas as he leads us.